Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Dhruva Maharaj Leaves Home, Text Number 34. Gunadi Gan Mudam Lip said, Anukrosham Gunadhamat, Maitrim Samanad Anvitschen, Natapair Abhibhuyate Guna Adikat. One who is more qualified. Mudam. Pleasure. Lipset. One should feel. Anukrosam. Compassion. Guna Adhamat. One who is less qualified. My trim. Friendship. Samana. With an equal. Amvichet. One should desire. Na. Not. Tapai. By tribulation. Abhibhuyate. Becomes affected. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should... Maybe you can turn this down. This is too... Well, it's on some weird reverb. Hare Krishna. You can hear me? Yeah, you can turn it down a little bit more of this, as far as I can tell. Okay, every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Purport. Generally, when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of him. When we find someone less qualified, we deride him. And when we find someone equal, we become very proud of our activities. These are the causes of all material tribulations. The great sage Narada therefore advised that a devotee should act perfectly. Instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate toward him, just to raise him to the proper standard. And when one meets an equal, instead of being proud of one's own activities before him, one should treat him as a friend. One should also have compassion for the people in general who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna. These important functions will make one happy within this material world. Om Agyana Timirandasya Kinanjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahayam Tadati Svapadantikam Muktam Karoti Vachalam Langayate Gurim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Dinatarinam. These recommendations by Srila Prabhupada in this purport instructions by Narada Muni are echoed also by Rupa Goswami. There are those who say that we should treat everybody equally. Pandita Sama Darshanaha. Well, Pandita, a pundit sees every Gavi, Hasti, Brahmana, Sunichai Vasvapake Cha. So we recommended to see everybody equally. Pandita Samadarshanaha. But as Prabhupada points out, this is a very elevated position. This is very elevated. To see everybody equally is the position of a Mahabhagavat, Uttama Adi. You know, this is a very elevated platform. And a vision that even the Uttama Adhikari retreats from and comes to the level of a Madhyam Adhikari to discriminate between who's advanced, who's equal, and who's lower. And so even the Uttama Adhikari comes down to the Madhyam vision, the Madhyam platform for practical dealings. For practical dealings. Otherwise, you know, Sunicha Ivaswapake Cha, you know, it's not practical to treat everybody equally. Right? I don't treat Hayagriva and Krishna Das like I treat Prana or Govindesh. Right? It would be silly to treat them equally. Just not very practical. He's just a baby. You're a baby, right? No, you're not a baby. You're still a child. He's still a child, right? I can theoretically understand that we're all equal from the spiritual point of view, Pandita Samadarshanaha. But for practical day-to-day dealings and appropriate proper dealings, Rupa Goswami encourages us to discriminate. And here Narada Muni also is teaching us to discriminate properly, proper discrimination for practical dealings, for working relationships. So, and the thing is that the Uttama Adhikari, this Pandita Samadarshanaha, he's feeling himself lower than everybody. He feels, you know, when Prabhupada came to London, then the reporters were asking him, "Are you George Harrison's guru?" Right, because there was George Harrison was, you know, at that time the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was being played on Top of the Pops, and the Apple, the Beatles had released the Hare Krishna record. And so, you know, Hare Krishna was permeating the whole of a good part of Western culture. Although actually it wasn't as prominent in America as it was in other places for some reason, because of EMI's contractual obligations with Apple, that it wasn't as popular in America. But still, the devotees were quite prominent because of their chanting Hare Krishna at that point. So anyway, Prabhupada said, I'm not anybody's guru. Interestingly, he responded, I'm not anybody's guru. I'm their servant. Or I think they asked, you know, are you the spiritual master? Are you the spiritual master of George Harrison? And Prabhupada said, I'm nobody's master. I'm everybody's servant. Right. So this is, that's the Uttama Adhikari. I'm everybody's servant. Everybody is more advanced than me. Right. So that vision or that that very, very... one time Prabhupada was, I think it was in Delhi, he was preaching very vigorously and he was quite animated in his presentation. And one of the members of the audience told Prabhupada, you know, you should calm down. No, what is it? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Na sochati, na kanchati. Because Prabhupada was getting on somebody's case. And this man said to Prabhupada, Pandita Samadarshanaha. Prabhupada said, that's a very advanced platform to be on. So the point here is we have to discriminate. Now, in discriminating, we should discriminate in a positive fashion because discrimination has two sides to the coin, right? There's the, we teach this in the disciple course. There are practical, there are levels of application in using one's discriminatory powers. You know, what are some of the basic discriminations that we practice just for day to day life? What are some of the practical ways we discriminate? We do it in class every morning when we come into the temple room. What's one of the ways we practically discriminate between individuals? The speaker sits on the Vyasa-san. I could sit anywhere, you don't need to sit on it. No, but what's a practical form of discrimination that we do every time we come into the temple room? Especially in class, what do we do? Is it women sit on this side and men sit on that side? Huh? Is it a form of discrimination? When you go to the bathroom, you don't walk into the women's toilets. Right? Likewise, there's a form of discrimination. What about red, amber and green? We discriminate between colour, don't we? In Australia we do. Right? When the light is red, we stop. When the light's green, we go. Or left and right. Right? In India, it's not clear. It's not clear whether you drive on the right or the left-hand side of the road. Much to the dismay of everybody else. Right. So, discrimination is normal. It's natural. And here it's mentioned, you know, usually when we see somebody superior, then we envy them. Right? How come he's in such a big... How come he's sitting on a seat? Why does he get the seat and I don't get the seat? Whereas here it's recommended when we meet somebody who's more qualified, then we should be happy that we've got the opportunity to associate with somebody who can elevate us, assist us. Right? If we meet somebody who's less qualified, then we should be compassionate to them. Because the thing is, we think we're more qualified than everybody else, and so we should be compassionate to everyone. Right? And they should serve us. which is basically pride. Right? And Prabhupada says, when we meet somebody and they're more qualified than us, then we become envious of them. And when we find somebody who's less qualified, we criticize them. When we find somebody equal, then we show off how much better we are, actually. This is according to pride. And then Prabhupada says here, these are the causes of all material tribulations. Whereas if we approach everyone, we need to, in one sense, we treat everybody spirit as if they're a spirit soul. This is that Pandita Samadarshanaha. But at the same time, we recognize the differences. And then we associate accordingly. And without feelings of pride or enviousness. Because that pride is the cause of clashing. So Prabhupada says here, if we become envious of persons, or we deride them, or we become proud of our activities, this is the cause of all material tribulations. That pride, basically. And of course, Lord Chaitanya teaches us Trinadapi Suniche Na Torore Api Suhishnana, that we should be respectful to everybody. And that respect is afforded to them according to their position, their qualifications. And so as devotees, we have to, okay, underlying everything, we respect everyone as a spirit soul, but at the same time, we look at, four items, right? Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Huh? And if it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we worship them. Worship him or her. If it's the internal energy, manifestation of the internal energy. If a person is a demon, we avoid them. The asuras, we avoid the asuras. But if they're devotees, then we use our discriminatory powers, or our powers of discrimination, to determine how advanced is this person, amongst other things. If they're a sannyasi, we deal with them at Abhinash. Relax, okay? You can play after. So we deal with them according to their... a number of things. What are some of the ways we discriminate and deal with people accordingly? What are some of the ways that we measure a person's... position? What are the things that we measure to work out how we're going to interact with them? Age, responsibilities that they carry, how much money they've got, right? And if you're dealing with a wealthy man, you treat him accordingly. How much influence he has. You know, if the king comes, then you pay attention to him. Just like Wednesday, the Governor General of Australia visited the Delhi Temple. Did you know that? Yeah. And they gave him a garland, and he offered Aarti to Prabhupada, different, you know, so depending on the stature or the position of a person, then we treat them accordingly, appropriately. renunciation, if there's a sannyasi, we honor the sannyasi. Prabhupada says if one of the ways to make advancement is to offer obeisances to the sannyasis. So, for the devotees, Rupa Goswami recommends, you know, for anybody who chants the name of Krishna, we respect them. We may not associate with them, because there are people who chant Hare Krishna, but still attached to material activity. Yeah? So they're the best amongst men because they chant Hare Krishna, but they may not be the best amongst devotees, and so we don't associate with them. Or we, you know, we'll participate in a kirtan and we'll render service and so forth together, but we may not intimately associate with people who are still addicted to material activities. And the devotees who are initiated and who are performing sadhana bhakti, those persons will pay obeisances to and share more intimate realizations of Krishna consciousness and associate, make friends with those people. And the advanced, we worship those who are devoid. Now, and what's the qualification that Rupa Goswami says delineates or denotes a person who's more advanced or most advanced? What's in the Upadeshamrita? What's the qualification?
Free from criticism.
Yeah, devoid of the propensity to criticize others. This is a symptom of a, and is symptomatic of what Narada Muni is suggesting here, because he's not proud. Because you know what happens when you become proud? Anybody know? Yes, and as a consequence, then
criticize others.
Ah, who does he think he is? Huh? What does he know anyway? So here, instead of being envious of a more qualified man, one should be jolly to receive him. Instead of being oppressive to a less qualified man, one should be compassionate. And when one meets an equal, one should treat him as a friend. And one should be compassionate to everyone. Because in one sense, we know everybody else is a fool. Right? Mudha. Avajananti mam mudha. So we know that those who don't recognize Krishna, they're fools. When we walk down the street and we see people, what do we think? What do you think when you walk down the street and you see someone? Fool. Right? Mudha. That's how Krishna says. Prabhupada says, no, we don't. It's not that we see everybody as a mudha, but they are mudhas. Huh? But Lord Chaitanya says, even though they're a mudha, we have to treat them respectfully. Right? And for some of them, respectful means keep your distance, because they're bad. They're ugra karma and asat sangha. And Rupa Goswami recommends asat sangha tyag. We should give up asat sangha. So that's why we. But by the same token, we should be compassionate to them also. And the way we're compassionate is by, well, how are we compassionate to the mudhas?
Giving them
Pajadam. What else? Harinam. Yeah. The holy name. We give them. But we shouldn't think, well, I'm better than you. Like Prabhupada gives us the example. I'm not anybody's master. I'm everybody's servant. Right? This is the mood. And of course, that's the epitome of humility. You know, I remember when I used to see people coming for the Sunday feast, and I think, what's wrong with these commies? You know, all they do is come here and take prasadam, and they won't surrender. They don't surrender to Krishna. Why aren't, you know, I'm thinking, why aren't they surrendered like me? What? Why don't they become an advanced devotee like me? I was thinking. And, you know, all they do is create trouble for us because we've got to cook for them and serve out the prasadam, and then they make a mess, we've got to clean up, you know. What a hassle. Why don't they become advanced like me and see the... So I was thinking, yeah, I'm a really great devotee, very advanced devotee. And they're just all karmis. And then I realized that it wasn't so long ago that I was one of those guys. Who do I think I am? These are actually, all of these people are devotees because they come and chant Hare Krishna. Right? They're the best of men and women. The best of men and women. Those people who come and worship Krishna. And that actually they're Krishna's guests. This is not my house. This is Krishna's house. And Krishna's inviting them, and they're so pious that they take advantage of that opportunity. They may not be pious, but they've got Krishna's kripa. Right? And so they're coming to honour Krishna and to chant Hare Krishna. So that's elevated. That's it. They're all devotees, actually. I realized. They're not akamis. They're devotees. So, you know, from my so-called elevated position, really all I was manifesting was a lot of pride. Huh? This is a symptom of a Kanishta Adhikari. He thinks he's the best devotee. Whereas a Uttama Adhikari, he thinks he's the worst devotee, but actually he's the best. Huh? So, as Prabhupada says here, we shouldn't be proud of our activities. And in the process then demean others and diminish the achievements of others. And we should have compassion for the general populace. They're mudhas, yes, but it doesn't take much to reawaken Krishna consciousness in a person. It doesn't take that much. So under the surface, everybody's a devotee, actually. And with the right encouragement, with the right support, with the right cultivation, then even a person who apparently is a mudha can quickly be awakened to their original Krishna consciousness. It doesn't take that much, actually. And if a person's dealt with properly, appropriately, then and then Prabhupada says, if we behave like this, then we deal with seniors appropriately, we deal with equals, peers appropriately, we deal with juniors appropriately, then we can be happy. Na tapaer. Tapa means difficulty, right? Experiencing difficulties. But here, if we behave in this way, na tapaer, we won't have to struggle. And so Prabhupada finishes this purport by saying, these important functions will make one happy within this material world. Na tapaer abhibhuyate. One will not be affected by tribulation. Adi atmik, adi bhautik, adi daivika. Suffering. Pretty far out, huh? If we learn how to treat people properly, we won't be affected by difficulties. Well, so that's why Prabhupada said, you know, members of the Krishna consciousness movement will be famous. Well, they'll be known for their gentle behavior. Right? That's what we should be. This is something we need to. These acting appropriately with others is how we can make advancement. Interesting. How to deal with others. And it's in the beginning of the translation, Prabhupada says, every man and woman, obviously, should act like this. Right? Meet one more qualified, be pleased. Less qualified, be compassionate. Peers, make friends. Might dream samanat. Sama means equal. So one who possesses equal qualities, equal, make friends with them. So that's why we make friends with the devotees. Most important is to make friends with the bhaktas so that we can also become a bhakta. Okay. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these? Yes, I agree, but...
If seniors do something offend because they are seniors, so they will get reaction because they are seniors. So,
if you're offensive to a senior, will you get a reaction? Is that the question?
Yeah.
What's the answer? What's the answer to that question? Okay. What's somebody say? If you're offensive to somebody, do you get a reaction?
Yes.
Yes. Ask Krishna Das. He'll tell you. Yes. The answer is yes. But how do you know whether you're being offensive or not? How do you know if you're being offensive or not? Don't know, huh? Okay. How do we know if we're being offensive, Krishna? What is the measure of offense?
When they tell you instruction, you don't listen to them.
Okay, yeah. If a senior gives you an instruction and you ignore them, is that offensive? Huh?
Yes.
Yeah. If your mum tells you what to do, and you don't do it, is that offensive or not?
Yes.
Yes, that's offensive. Offense, yeah. We learn some of these things by experience. When our dad tells us to do something and we ignore it, we discover fairly quickly that that was not the right thing to do. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, there's degrees of offensiveness, right? There's degrees of offensiveness. You can ignore some of the things that your mum tells you to do, right? Is that right? Yeah. You know, what if your dad tells you to do something? You ignore that at your own peril. My mum used to threaten us with a wooden spoon. We just laugh. Ah, come on, mum. But if dad came, he didn't have to have the wooden spoon. He just, my father especially, he would go from passive to tempestuous in just like that. A quality that I also have. So watch out. Okay, anything else?
If the senior devotee doesn't offer to somebody, don't little like down, more down the line, will you get off, will you get a reaction?
You know, one time, the question was, if a senior is offensive to a junior, does he get a reaction? So, it's interesting, you know, because Trinadupi Sanichena Tarore Vasahishnana. So tolerance and patience. And one time there was a devotee here who was older devotee, and he was a little erratic, a little bit crazy sometimes. And he got angry with one of the junior devotees. He was and he slapped the younger devotee. Got angry and he slapped the younger devotee. And the younger devotee just tolerated it. He knew he was a little pagu baba. He knew he was a little bit crazy and that he was overreacting. And so he showed a degree, you know, he showed tolerance. He showed his culture, actually. He showed his advancement. Even though the senior was older, the junior was more spiritually advanced, actually. And so when the senior got upset and slapped him, he didn't get upset, he just tolerated it. So he showed his he showed who was actually senior in reality. So if a person is senior, or where a devotee is senior, doesn't mean that automatically he should tell everyone what to do. Like Prabhupada said, I'm the servant, so. Just because we have a senior role or a senior position doesn't give us license to then just throw our weight around. Right? Anybody else? I have to speak a bit louder.
Like parallels?
Parallels?
Yes.
You have to speak a bit louder because I can't hear you. That AC over there is louder than your voice for me. So shout. Speak loudly. Yes. Yes, we need to discriminate.
And at the same time, we started to the parallel in relationship with God, in the sense that we have to be servants, but according to kind of classification of the devotees, the same servitude also can be, doesn't mean it's less, or it's according to the position.
But you know what? That doesn't mean that we can't be friendly to everybody. You know, just because I'm now superior to you, I have to tell you what to do. You know what I mean? It's tricky because we need to know how to deal with everybody. Right? So, say your last point again. Yes, we have to discriminate.
Practical,
yes.
At the same time, you start losing the service attitude.
Yes, without losing the service attitude. As a senior, you don't kind of walk around with your nuclear boots, you know, kicking everybody. I'm senior. Step aside. Do what I tell you to do. Right? And you can see that with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was friendly to everybody. Right? But when the occasion arose where it was appropriate to instruct and instruct in a firm, you know, in a particular way, just like a parent. Right? Kripa Siddha isn't always clipping him in the ears. In fact, he never does it. Right? But he might be firm with him on some occasions when the discipline is required. But on most occasions, he's just friendly with his son. Right? So on most occasions, we're friendly with each other and respectful, because that's the for us, the lowest common denominator in behavior is to be respectful to everybody, right? And in certain circumstances or in certain situations, you know, the king doesn't ride around on his horse with his sword all the time chopping off heads, right? A policeman isn't always walking around giving tickets to everybody. Ticket everywhere. Right? Because not everybody's a criminal. It's just when the behaviour is criminal, then the police comes after him. And there happen to be a lot of crooks, and so that's why they're busy. But, you know, in a Krishna-conscious society, ideally the police probably wouldn't have a lot to do. Right? It'd be an easy job. So, yes, we're practical in understanding our relationships, but at the same time we maintain that service mood and that mood of friendship with everybody. That's why it says here we won't have any problems if we behave like this, if we learn how to behave. The trick is working out who's who, right? Who's who? Who's this guy? You know, there's no ruler or there's no litmus test. You stick a piece of paper in the mouth and then they work out, oh yes, Paramahamsa. Or, and this is interesting, you may see symptoms of Paramahamsa in somebody, and you also see, and this is in ISKCON, not unusual, you'll see symptoms of very advanced behaviour and then some not advanced. Right? And so then you're scratching your head. Oh, what's going on here? And then you realise, mixed. Right? mixed. Just like, for example, you know, we have some sannyasis in our society. We honour and worship them, but they're terrible managers, and so we don't listen to some of the instructions that they give us because it's like, what? Huh? And it's hard for the devotee. You know, they want to. We want to honour and recognise everybody, but then they give us some weird instruction on how to manage things, and so we got to go, woo, where's that coming from? Huh? So it requires discrimination and how to maintain a jolly disposition to somebody who tells you to do odd things sometimes. Spiritually, they give wonderful instructions, but when it comes to organizing things, it's like, So how do you choose? How do you recognize those things? Because they can create a lot of confusion in the devotees' minds because they think, oh, he's a very advanced devotee. And in the Bhagavatam it says we should serve the very advanced devotees. Right? But then he's given us this odd instruction. What do we do with that? Right? So then maturity is required. How to deal with people. What do you think? Yeah. Did I cover the first point? Yeah. Okay. Good. How can I serve you? Next.
It's trying to understand the text is that to discriminate who is superior, who is less, who is a sinner. We have a point of reference for self-perception. Sometimes for an understanding of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So how we can refer to how to be accurate with this kind of discrimination facing our self-understanding?
Based on our understanding?
Yeah, because we have to say, if I see somebody
superior yeah. to me. Yeah, so the question is, how can I determine the position of another? Huh? If I'm not sure of who I am, I don't know who I am, how do I work out who others are? Is that the problem? Mostly the problem, right? That's why this is the process of self-realization, and much of the challenge of our discovery is actually getting to know who we are, getting to know ourselves. Good question. If you're living in a society of fools, right, you may never know. I guess, you know, this is why Chanakya says, for a Brahmana, if he's insulted, if people don't appreciate his position, he should go somewhere else. Right? So, this is why Prabhupada created the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is so that we could be in a society of gentlemen and gentlewomen who were making spiritual advancement and we can know because we have three sets of measurements, if you like, right? Guru, sadhu and shastra. Right? So, the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Nectar of Devotion for us are our scriptural source of information by which we can measure the behavior of ourselves and measure the behavior of others. And keeping in mind that it's always in a state of flux also. You know what I mean by flux? It's a state of flow. It's not... And you know, we can't judge Hayagriva and Krishna Das when they're 35, right, for example, on the behavior that they exhibit today at age 9?
7.
Well, you had me fooled. Huh? I thought he was much older because of the way he behaves, right? So you know, it's all somewhat fluid. But and we can also determine by talking to our gurus, people that we have faith in and who we know understand the scripture and how to apply it. Right? And the sadhus, the other devotees. We can confirm our personal realizations about ourselves with our friends and with our seniors, and we can confirm it by reading the Shastra. So we have means by which we can test our experience and check our experience and in dealings with others. And apply these, you know, we can apply these principles and we'll get the proper mentions, and Krishna mentions also in the Bhagavad Gita that our process is the perfection of religion, right? Pratyakshavagamam damyam susukam katam abhyayam. We can, by applying the process of bhakti, we experience the results. Right? We sometimes it's our own personal realization we realize that we're such a fool. Right? Others can tell us, but we don't get the same realization as when we experience it ourselves. And Krishna kind of puts the mirror up in front of us, right? And then we realize, oh, ouch. Right? So we need to immerse ourselves in the process of bhakti, we need to apply these principles, and we need to take heed or you know, we need to respond appropriately to the realizations that we have, and we can do that by checking with our guru, checking with the sadhus, checking in the shastra, and by applying it, you know, by following that process. And so gradually we'll make progress in understanding where I sit, right, as a devotee, where I sit, and where others sit on the path of bhakti, on the path of, you know, making spiritual advancement. We can tell if we're making spiritual advancement by how detached we are from material, you know, enjoyment, for example. How satisfied we are, how happy we are. Huh? You can tell. It's not that difficult, actually. We just need to know the process. Anything else? Is that all right? Yeah?
Two devotees fight?
Yeah,
two devotees fight.
What about?
Like small issues without any reason.
Yeah, Kanishta. Yeah. But generally, see, a devotee makes friends. Not fighting. Go on.
And if someone just said, and if you contact with the words like a devotee, then if someone just tells you or tells something, and you don't like, or you just contact with the works, what he says, that's like offense for, like, because he doesn't know about the truth. And if he just says, and I get
offended without any reason. I just contract to his words. It's like an offense or it's like...
Depends on who's chastising you. Depends on what you did.
It,
somebody else. Well, it depends on what they did. Who's chastising them? There's so many factors. If you didn't wash the pots properly and it's a chinchurupa telling you off, then you have to accept it. Right? But yeah, you know, Kanishthas argue. Madhyam Bhakta makes friends. And a Kanishtha Adhikari will argue over the most petty of things. You know, you can see it in ISKCON today, on Facebook, especially. There's, you know, Krishna West and Krishna East. Huh? And even just ridiculously offensive statements made about senior devotees. And it's just ridiculous. Like, if you wear a turban, right? If you wear a turban, I've seen devotees criticizing very senior people because they wore a turban. I was like, what? Come on. Come on, guys. In India, wearing a turban, or in Vedic culture, wearing a turban at a ceremonial occasion is normal. Right? This is just it's just culture, isn't it? You know, when they do the yajnas, the Mayapur bussies, they wear those funny Mickey Mouse things, right? Or a swami wears a turban, or, you know, at a ceremonial occasion. Oh, Prabhupada didn't do it. Come on, Prabhupada didn't do a whole bunch of things, right? But just because we don't behave exactly like Prabhupada, it's details, right? It's all details, little details that hardly, they're so inconsequential. So Prabhupada says, you know, you can wear... now here's the practical thing. Dress according to the occasion, right? You know what that means? Dress according to the occasion. It's a wedding, it's a yajna, it's a special occasion. So a sannyasi puts on a turban, hey, why not? Huh? It's not a big deal. But a Kanishtha will go, oh, look at the sannyasi wearing a turban, oh, he's a demon. Well, he's just wearing a turban. It's no big deal. Huh? And you know, so on one side we've got the Krishna Westies. If you're wearing a dhoti and a kurta, then you're a pashandi. Right? And then on the other side, if you're wearing a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, from the other side, you're a pashandi. Right? You're not Vedic, you're not... Whereas it's just dress according to the occasion. If you're going to go and do book distribution and you're cultivating people at Urban Yoga or whatever, dress appropriately. Right? And Prabhupada said so, you know. Be practical, dress appropriately according to the audience. Actually, he mentioned a Mukunda, then Mukunda. Because Mukunda was kind of, he wasn't a hippie, but he was more of a beatnik, which is the precursor to a hippie, right? which meant a bit scruffy, mismatched clothing, you know, not very presentable. So Prabhupada said, you know, be a gentleman, dress like a gentleman. So Mukunda went shopping with Janaki and they bought a nice suit, right? And when Prabhupada came to London and the jet arrived, it was raining and there was puddles and everything, but the devotees paid their obeisances even in the puddles. You know, people kind of looking at them, and their clothes all got dirty. But when they got up, their dhotis had, you know, wet patches where their knees were, or where they just laid in the puddles. So Prabhupada kind of indicated to Mukunda that he should dress a little more. And even Mukunda himself said, I noticed that people were looking at me rather oddly, you know, in my coat that probably could have been washed. So then he got a, he went and bought a three-piece suit. And he wanted to show Prabhupada the new suit, but Prabhupada wasn't there, he'd gone for a walk. And then Prabhupada came back and it was again wet and there were puddles. And so when Mukunda saw Prabhupada, he wanted to pay his obeisances. And so he went to pay his obeisances, but then he thought, if I pay my obeisances, my suit's going to get all dirty. So then he stood up. And so then he saw Prabhupada again and he thought, oh, I better pay my obeisances. But then he thought, oh, no, I'll get my suit dirty. And then Prabhupada just laughed at him because he realised he wanted to pay his obeisances, but he shouldn't get his suit dirty. Right? And so Prabhupada just laughed. You know, it's okay. It doesn't. It's these are details. So, so we have to learn, and this is the trick about advancement, and you know how to deal with others. We have to learn how to behave appropriately according to the circumstance. And so, you know, when you've got your freshly pressed suit on, or even dhoti, I'm sorry for that matter, and, you know, you're outside and your guru comes, you don't pay your obeisances and then mess up your clothes because you just look stupid, right? It's just not sensible. So you knowing how to, it's called kala desha patra, right? Time, place, person, Prabhupada says, patra, or circumstance. So we have to know and be mature. And you know, I go out with some of the devotees, senior devotees, and they'll say to me, no babies, right? Don't bring any babies. My Guru Maharaj says this to me, when we're going out, make sure there's no babies around, okay? Because they won't, you know, they don't behave appropriately according to the circumstance. You know what I mean? Like we go to the airport and then all of a sudden there's 20 people and they're all bowing down. It's like, whoa, take it easy, guys. There's all these people looking at you thinking you're stupid. Or look, there's the cult. There's all the cult people behaving like cultish. Right? So how to adjust etiquette to time, place and circumstance. In the temple it's fine. Everybody pays their obeisances to everybody else. That's what we do. And that's not unusual. But you know, when we're in the Melbourne airport, say for example, that might be considered a bit weird. So don't do it. But having the maturity to understand that, right? So, and also, you know, understanding the application of this dynamic, and then appreciating that The devotees who are dressed with jeans and t-shirt and they're preaching, they're doing that because that's an appropriate application of the principle of unity and diversity, basically, and applying that according to, you know, Prabhupada says, first dress, then address. That's what he said to Mukunda. First dress and then address. So we dress according to the occasion. And when we're on the street distributing books or for urban yoga, we're preaching, we might adjust our presentation. Not might, we do. We adjust our presentation to the audience. And there's nothing wrong with that. Huh? Of course, the neo-Vedic spiritual warriors will hang you from the nearest tree for being un-Vedic. Right? But you'll be okay with the Krishna Westies. Huh? So subtle, how to apply these things appropriately, how to adjust, and how to avoid being a Kanishtha and, you know, fight over the details. Oh, you're wearing jeans, you Malecha. Huh? For those of us who wear dhotis, you know, the Krishna Westies will say, you, what do they say? Inflexible, you know, Hare Krishna robot.
Conservative.
Yeah, conservative.
Fanatic.
Huh?
Fanatic.
Yeah, fanatic. You don't know how to preach. You don't know how to preach. But it's interesting that I had the experience in the Mumbai airport where we were dressed as Hare Krishnas, which I often do. I wanted to go into one of the lounges, but because the airline that I was with, Air India, they don't have any lounges. We were going to go into the lounge, but with the cards that I had, I was going to have to pay $30. Huh? And I thought, hey, hang on. Wherever else I go with this card, I get it for nothing. How come I got to pay something? So then there was a guy behind me and he said, he told me what was going on. He said, look, I've got plenty of cards. You can come in on one of mine, right? So he brought me and a Chintarupa into the lounge on his card. Now, if I hadn't been dressed as a devotee, I doubt he would have done that, right? Because in India, ISKCON is so, you know, well-respected by so many people, if you go around as a... So anyway, I get into the lounge, and then I meet another man who would not have approached me if I hadn't been dressed as a devotee. And he said, he asked me where are you... We had a bit of a chat. His son is a disciple of Radhanath Swami, and he had some medicine for a devotee in Mayapur. And he said, look, can you take this medicine to the devotee? Actually... He said, I've got this medicine, but I'm not going to Mayapur. He said, can you help me? I said, oh, give it to me. I'm going to Mayapur. I'll hand it over. Right? So I mentioned this on Facebook, and Korma said, none of this would happen in Krishna West. Right? Because I was a devotee, the guy let me in. I wasn't going to go in otherwise because I had to pay. And then when I was in there, that fellow, that devotee who was sitting there, he'd just flown from Chicago. Right? So he'd come in from Chicago and he was going to South India. And he met me, and because I was a devotee, we had a chat. And then I was able to do some service for him and for his friend who needed the medicine. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been dressed as a devotee. So in India, generally, I recommend... go as a Hare Krishna. Krishna Vedic, right? Krishna East in India. But then other occasions, you know, if I'm travelling a long distance, I don't want to be in a dhoti. You know, when you come out of the aeroplane and you've been sleeping and flying for how many hours, you look like a you look like a wreck. Huh? Dhoti's all crinkled up, Curtis all... So I generally, on a long distance flight, especially overnight when you're sleeping, I prefer to wear, I go Krishna West. But how to be flexible? The Kanishthas will always fight. Krishna West, Krishna East. Huh? And then you wonder, is this the Hare Krishna movement? Because, and especially in Australia, we all were taught, certainly in the 80s, you know, we used to wear wigs. I mean, talk about Krishna West. We took it, like the Hare Krishnas tend to do, we went to the extreme, right? We wanted to present ourselves in such a way so people would accept us, so we put wigs on, right? And then everybody thought we were crazy. We thought we were doing a normal thing, and they all thought, what are these Hare Krishnas doing? They shaved their heads, then they put a wig on. It's like, what? That's crazy. You know, one time I was selling candles in Dandenong, and I went into a factory, and we used to go, I was wearing my Kami clothes, I said to the guy at the counter, you know, I got some candles, anybody interested? And he said, yeah, mate, I know somebody who'll be interested. And then he went out the back, and then he got a guy to come in who was also wearing a wig. Yeah, he'll be interested. I thought, yeah, okay, all right. Anybody else? So, yeah. Be practical, and don't be surprised when people want to fight over details. That's a Kanishtha. Kanishtha Adhikari fights over details, neglecting the principle. Whereas a Madhyama Adhikari, which is the platform that Prabhupada wants us all to be on, even if you're an Uttama Adhikari, right? Uttama Adhikari comes to the Madhyam platform. We don't fight over anything, because you're supposed to be friends with the devotees, and we discuss how to apply the principles appropriately according to time, place and circumstance, and be innovative. Right? Innovative. Lord Chaitanya was offended by the students who didn't understand his devotional mood, his internal devotional mood. And so they criticized him when he struck one of the students, right? They were being offensive to him. So then he was thinking, how can I help everyone? Right? How can I elevate everybody? So that's why he took sannyas. He took sannyas not because he needed to be a sannyasi. He's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to be a sannyasi anything. Right? But he took sannyas for the benefit of others. And so that in that sense he was being innovative. And Prabhupada says the acharya should always be thinking of ways to elevate others. Not be stereotyped. Right? So on the one hand, we're not Krishna West. On the other hand, we're not Krishna East either. We're servants of the principle of trying to always, first of all, think of Krishna ourselves, but give other people an opportunity to think of Krishna. Right? We know that it's not that difficult to get people to be Krishna conscious. Right? Not that difficult. We just have to walk down the street chanting Hare Krishna, and then automatically everybody's Krishna conscious. Huh? That's how hard it is. Of course, some people don't like it. But on the whole, when you go out on Harinam in Melbourne, what happens? What happens inevitably these days?
People join in.
Yeah. I've mentioned this before. In 1978, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement and somebody was running from 50 metres towards the Harinam party, you better watch out. That guy's going to attack you. And these days I see people running and I think, uh-oh, what's happening? And the guy just jumps in and starts jumping up and down. Right? So inevitably what happens? My experience is when you go and do Harinam, people just smile at you. Right? Navina Nirada and Jai, you know, they say Australia, Melbourne and other places in Australia, the best place to do book distribution in the world. Right? That's why we've got so many guys here at the moment who are coming here to do a collection. Right? Because it's so good here. That's why they do it. Huh? That's why they hang around. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, I've come to preach, Prabhu. Yeah, okay. Sure. Huh? So, we should be innovative. We got to think of, okay, how are we going to get... Because it's much of it's already chalked out for us. Prasada, Harinam, right? It's like, duh. How hard is that? Book distribution, prasadam distribution, and then how to get people in the association. This is the tricky part. How to get people in the association of the devotees so that we can help them remember Krishna more, you know, so their meditation increases. And, you know, if they're freaked out by... Although many people are not. Like Damrita Maharaj just gave a presentation to how many people? 600 people, right? What was he wearing? How Krishna West was he? How much? He wasn't at all. When I go to... of course, sometimes I also go undercover, but when I go to urban yoga and places like that, then people are super... super receptive, because I'm not a fanatic like I was when I was 25. Now closer to 65, so I'm a bit more mellow, I suppose. But then again, that's time, place, and circumstance, right? And innovative. On the one hand, Prabhupada said, don't change anything, right? Don't change anything. But then on the other hand, he says, you've got to be innovative, which means change. So knowing what shouldn't change and what should change, that's what distinguishes a Madhyam Bhakta from a Kanishtha. Because a Kanishtha will say, you can only do it like this. And if you do it differently, off with his head. Right? You see that in, there are religious traditions where if anybody does anything different to you, then you kill them. Right? Isn't it? This is called Kanishtha. Just hung up in the details, and if somebody does something different, you're a Pashandi and should be, and for your benefit, you need to be killed. So, yeah. Don't be surprised that the Kanishthas fight with each other over details, because that's what Kanishthas do. But we should rise to the platform of Madhyam, where we work together, we adjust together, cooperatively, understanding the principles that we're trying to apply with the focus and with the intention of helping others make it. And Prabhupada says, you know, get people to chant Hare Krishna. Get the people to remember Krishna, then the rules and regulations come later. Right? Rules and regulations come later. Okay, we should finish here. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai Srila Prabhupada, ki jai Gaura Bhaktavinda, ki jai.